What is up, everybody? Welcome to Living Word Church Podcast. Wherever you're tuning in from, we believe you'll be encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. If you don't know me already, my name's Anna Kate Williams. I was born and raised here in Manny. I have two children, William and Major. I own a business here in Manny, Rigs and Racks Fitness. And I have been a member at LWSC for several years now. At the beginning of each year, I try to pick a word instead of setting all these crazy diet plans and stuff to try to stick to that I know I won't. So I try to pick a word that I want to try to live by that year. And this year my word was being intentional. So I think Pastor Sean knew that. We had discussed it and I had talked to him about I'm trying to say yes in every place that I'm asked, especially when it comes to serving God. So when he asked me, I had no other choice but to say yes. So here I am. After Sean asked me to do this, it really made me sit back and reflect on my life and the things that have made and molded me into who I am today. And I can't speak about that without speaking about my childhood. I was raised in a Christian home. I had a wonderful mother and father who did a great job at showing us what it was like to serve the Lord. And they had us in church every opportunity. And it wasn't just them. It was them. It was my grandparents. It was my great-grandparents. It was my aunts. It was my uncles. I was very favored because of the foundation that they set for me and my brother. My dad would wake up every morning, and he would play worship music, and we could hear it. We didn't want to be woken up by it, but we were. We could hear it. And then he would play that the whole time he was getting dressed. And then he would go into the living room, and he would get in his word for at least 30 minutes every day. And I don't know if he knew the difference that would make in our lives, but it did. And because he was so committed and so disciplined, my life was changed forever. In 2015, my dad passed from cancer. Up until that point, the hardest thing I had ever done was run suicides under 24 seconds. And because of the way I was raised, I knew exactly who to go to during that time. You know, I knew that I needed to fill that void by seeking Jesus. And I knew that I needed to do that instead of turning to other things of this world to fill that void. My dad's passing made me draw closer to God. And it was something special about knowing when I listened to worship music that my dad was right there sitting at the feet of Jesus doing the same thing. And the greatest gift he could have ever given me was knowing that when he passed away, he was forever healed and that I would see him again one day. The biggest setback in my life, though, was a failing marriage. I battled many, many, many years of infidelity, alcohol abuse, financial hardships, and just struggled with, what do I do? You know, you have friends. When are you going to be done? How much time are you going to give it? But deep down inside of me, I remember I was sitting down with my Uncle Roderick one day, and I said, you know, I call him Kaka. I said, you know, Kaka, I just don't know. Like, I feel like if I give up on my marriage, I'm giving up on God. And that's what's so important about seeking good counsel, is my uncle didn't say, you need to be done. He said, be still, be patient, and you will know. And that's what I did. I asked for a divorce in 2022. And with that came feelings of being ashamed. Failure. I'm not good at failure. I don't like losing. Embarrassment. Desperation. And I was sitting over here about where my family's sitting. And Pastor Paul came up here one day. And after his message, I don't even think he knew everything that was going on. He knew a little bit. He walked up to me and he looked at me like Pastor Paul does when he's concerned. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, you okay? And I was like, oh, do I give him the Blessed and highly favored, Pastor. Answer or what? And I just looked at him, and I just, everything to hold back tears. And I'm not. And he said, I want you to know God's not mad at you. And that's all he said. He didn't try to convince me of anything. He just said, God's not mad at you. And with that, a weight was lifted off my shoulders. And that's all I needed to know that it was time for a fresh start. For most of my life, I kind of piggybacked on the favor that God had shown my parents and generations of blessings. I piggybacked off of that. It wasn't some work I did. I was always one foot in and one foot out. And I knew it was time for me to get it together. I kind of had like a religious relationship with God. You see, religion changes us from the outside in. Jesus changes us from the inside out. So I began to find my identity in Christ. He's my creator. He created me in this image. I should look like him. I should talk like him. I should act like him. I should love like him. My life should mirror Jesus. And in order to do that, I had to have a relationship with him. When I played college ball, we would have a scouting report before each game. And this scouting report would say, this is how you need to guard this person. This is how this person is going to attack you. This is how you need to attack this person. This is what you do in order to win the game. And if I had to make a scouting report for ways to win as a child of God, it would be this. Number one, have faith. Jesus told Peter, and this was, Jesus knew Peter was about to deny him. But I have prayed for you that you would stay faithful to me no matter what comes. Remember this, after you have turned back to me and have been restored, make it your life mission to strengthen the faith of your brothers. Faith gives us the ability to overcome. I don't know how I would have gotten through these past 2 years had it not been faith and people of faith. Number two, seek him through his word. And to be honest, I'm not very good at this. I'm not a reader. I do not like reading. But it is very, very important to get in his word. That's your sword. Ephesians 6:10. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Number three, build a relationship with him. There's my timer. Sorry, I'm going over. Stay committed and disciplined. I wasn't good at making those suicide times, and I'm not good at this either. Where there is no sacrifice, there is no commitment. Number four, surround yourself with godly men and women. And I can't point that out enough. You see, during all this time of being attacked, it's real easy to just attack back. And if you don't have the right people in your ear, you act the wrong way because they're telling you to do the wrong things and you're taking advice from people who aren't in the word of God, and it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. So surround yourself with godly men and women. These are your teammates. These are people who will pray for you and hold you up when you can't stand on your own. And I've had so many of those through this past 2 years. Being a part of this church, a church that puts so much emphasis on relationships and community, is the reason I can stand up here today and speak about where I am and who I am through Christ. And number five, last but not least, serve people and love people. Ephesians 2:7, throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Well, good morning. My name's Derek McClendon. Great job, Anna Kate. Did awesome. I am the husband of Riley McLendon. My daughters are Evan and August McLendon. And I am a singer-songwriter. I'm a traveling musician. That's what I do. And what I want to talk to you about today is God's grace and mercy being shown through his people and circumstances. I've got three scriptures for you today. The first one's Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Verse 2, Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And lastly, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I was churched all my life. As early as I can remember, going to Pendleton Assembly of God, and I'm going to say this also. I've got so many connections with friends that now attend this church. Normally when you go to a church, you just kind of move in and meet the people. But you'll see over the years, like I went to church with Anna Kate as a kid. I did ministry with Tara, who's coming up next to speak. And there are so many connections throughout this church, and it really is a family. But let me move on. I was saved at an early age. I was in youth band in high school with my wife. I don't know if you know that. Riley was on the worship team at one time. But in 2008, we graduated high school, and I left for the Army and came back in 2012. And I stumbled into a worship leader and a staff position at a local church here. And ended up surrendering to ministry, full-time ministry, a lifetime of ministry in 2013 or 2014. And began leading small groups, began parachurch ministries, began doing revivals, playing music at revivals, and just doing whatever I could for the Lord, which eventually led to burnout. Because I didn't know to say no. I didn't have people watching out for me saying, you're doing too much. And so I made some poor decisions. I made some of the worst decisions in my life. And in 2019, it led to some of the most disastrous decisions I've ever made. Ended up leaving everything I loved behind for 24 hours. And came back and was welcomed back with open arms. But in July of 2019, I stepped down from that staff leader position, that worship leader position, and began to search for healing. And I found LWC. And Pastor Paul, this ministry that I did with Tara and some others, Pastor Paul and Pastor Jess and a few others came down in 2017. We were over at Bowen's having tribe on Tuesday nights, and Pastor Paul and some from the LWC Mansfield crew came down and just wanted to be a part of that. We eventually stopped the ministry because others took on greater positions, but there was that connection that led us back to LWC. Pastor Paul's willingness to show love to us was not something we were ready for at the time. But we met with Pastor Paul in 2019. Riley and I did. And we were very upfront and honest with him about everything that we had walked through and where we were as Christians and where we were as a married couple. And honesty and vulnerability and authenticity were the utmost important to us. We didn't want to bring anything over and try to hide anything from where we were. We wanted to be front and honest. And he welcomed us. Because of the grace that Pastor Glenn, who is our number one, started LWC, and because of the grace that's been shown to Pastor Paul, they show grace like no other church I've ever been a part of. And I don't want to take away from any other church. I'm just telling you, there's something special about a people that understand grace. We were going to Mansfield when the Manny launch came. We were moving into the Sabine Theater, and I was asked to play drums, which I love doing. But then they found out I was a worship leader at one time, and they asked me to start playing guitar and then start leading worship. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I did that enough, 6.5 years. I need some time. So I said, I'll play the guitar, but I don't want a mic in front of me. I don't want to look like I'm trying to be in the spotlight at all. Which led to them having a mic in front of me, but not plugged in. It was just, it's like, okay, I can do that. Which led to being plugged in and me singing backing vocals, which led to me saying yes to leading worship, which eventually led to me saying yes to leading worship twice a month, which I do now. All of which, let me say this, all of which would not be possible with a pastor team who was willing to show grace and mercy and allow you to heal. Allow you to heal is a big one. I want to say this. If there's anything you get from me today, obviously those first three scriptures, but this, the one point I have for you, making room for God means making room for unexpected blessings. I'll say it one more time. Making room for God means making room for unexpected blessings. I told you I'm a singer-songwriter. I travel. I go out on the weekends. Some weeknights I go out and I play my songs for anybody that'll listen. Most of the time they don't. But I heard Lucas. I got some songwriters in the room. I was okay with God where he was on my, you know, the two Sundays a month. I was okay. You know, that's, I would have God there in that box. And I wasn't looking for more of God. I wasn't asking for more of his presence. I wasn't asking for more of his blessings. I was okay with where he was. But I was asked to lead worship at Rivers Conference that we just started this year. Did anybody go to the Rivers Conference? Man, it was fantastic. I can't wait for you to go next year. Listen, I wasn't actively seeking more of God. But something happened at Rivers. I don't know if I prayed a prayer or if finally Hanan and Carolyn's prayers started to come to life. I'm watching you. But I began to lose interest in the things that I love to do. I began to gain more interest in what God had and spending time with God's people than anything. What I'm trying to say is when I go out and do my own thing, all I can think about is you. All I can think about is being with the body of Christ. It's not a pleasurable experience to have written your own songs and to not even want to play them because you'd rather be here. Look. I don't know what this, I wasn't going through anything major this time. I wasn't, again, seeking anything more, but God came on like never before. And there's just a hunger and there's a thirst for more of his presence and to see more of his people saved, more of his word. Look, when I came to LWC, I just wanted to be a church member. I just wanted to sit back there. Not that you're doing wrong sitting back there. Y'all in the cheap seats. I just wanted to be a church member. But God has more for you. God had more for me. LWC has more in store for you. You can be just as involved as you want to. Let me say this final word. LWC can be the place that you come to on Sunday and nothing more. It can be that, 100%. It can be the place where you come on the weekend and you leave the doors and you're not changed. But it can be a literal family where healing takes place, where miracles happen, where love grows, where marriages are fixed. I just want you to know that LWC loves you today. Jesus loves you today. It's because of what Jesus has done in our leader's life that I'm able to stand here today. I love y'all. Thank you for being here. Tara Manning is coming up next. Tara.
Again. He didn't say my name right. Well, I'm sorry. It's going to take me a second to get to my page. I wrote like 50 pages of stuff. Thanks. Okay, I got it. So if I have not introduced myself to you before, my name is Tara Hagen. I am Joshua Hagen's wife. I don't know where he's right there. We have two babies. We've been coming here for a little less than a year now, and it has been a tremendous blessing to me and my family. And I'm already crying. But I just want to say how thankful I am that you guys have allowed me to share a little bit about my story. But before I get into my story, I want to talk about a scripture really quick. There's a conversation that takes place in the book of Luke in chapter 22, verse 33. Jesus is talking to Peter, or Simon Peter, and he says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you return to me, strengthen your brethren." And if that sounds familiar, it's because it's the exact same verse that God gave Anna Kate to talk about today. Somebody must need to hear it. But I love this conversation that takes place between Jesus and Peter, because it really shows the heart of Jesus. It shows the heart of someone who looks beyond the mistakes that you've made and looks at the heart that he created for you. And at this point in the text, Peter has no idea. He's completely unaware of his future. He has no idea that he is going to go on to deny Jesus 3 times as he's being led to his death. But he's also just as unaware of the power and encouragement that believers like us, 2,000 years later, gain from one of the worst parts of his story. And that brings me to my point this morning, which is that we all have a story. Peter's story included denial, and my story includes unbelief, anger, and disappointment with God. A few years ago, I lost a good friend of mine. She was basically like a sister to me. We grew up together. We were in junior high, high school, college, another college, adulthood. We grew up together. But she passed away. And her death changed me forever. And I know I'm not the only one in here whose story includes grief. If you're familiar with grief, you know that it comes on suddenly and it can be devastating. You experience emotions that are extreme and they come at unexpected times. And one of the worst parts for me was the taunting thoughts about the future that would never look the same. A few months before my friend passed away tragically, God gave me a promise about her. And I didn't share this with anyone except for my mentor one day, but this promise was that her and I would be in ministry together, which basically what that looked like to me was that she would come to church and tell her story of how God changed her life, and I would be able to tell other people about her story, and we would share it with everyone. And I don't mean to be dramatic, but it was going to change lives. It was going to change the world. And I knew that, and I held on to that hope for her future until the day I got the news that they had found her body. And everything came crashing down, including the trust that I had in God. The week of her death, my emotions were all over the place. And while I would love to sit here and tell each of you that death couldn't even shake my relationship with Jesus, that would be a lie. Because it did. It definitely shook my faith in Jesus. But I can stand here and say that because of God's goodness and God's faithfulness, I'm able to share with you that there is hope in your grief. God placed a special woman in my life during this time. She was my mentor, church mama, if you will. If you have a church mama, you know what I'm talking about. Miss Carolyn, I think you're the church mama here. But she taught me a very valuable lesson one day. And basically what that is the importance of confessing your emotions and your doubts, your unbelief, and your disappointments to God. Basically, it's you being honest about what you're actually thinking and what you're actually feeling instead of pretending that it doesn't even exist. When you allow God to come into your mess, he can teach you how to see beyond what you see, how to see beyond what you feel. Much like Peter, when he denied Jesus, when he realized what he had done, he was full of shame. And me, I was also ashamed that I got to the point that I had questioned God's goodness for my life and my friend's life. But as God does, he redeemed that too. if you were to go back in the book of Luke in chapter 22, verse 33, you would not see Jesus holding that part of Peter's life against him. Jesus does not hold the fact that he denied him three times over his head. In fact, if you look closely, you see that Jesus points beyond it to his return. The same way that Jesus saw Peter is how he sees me and how he sees you. He sees you for your potential, not just the worst parts of your story. The week after my friend's death, I was asked to speak at her memorial. It was one of those things where I'm like, if you need anything, let me know. And then they needed me. And I was like, no, don't need me anymore. But they asked me to speak at the memorial and I said yes. And I was so worried and nervous because here I am with my own doubts and my own fears and my questioning and my disappointment in God. And I'm expected to go in front of a bunch of people and tell them about God's goodness. And it was hard for me. But I knew that I had to keep asking God, like, show me why I hope in you. Show me why I trust you. Show me the love that you have for me. In that moment at her memorial, when I walked up behind the podium, everything else changed. I had to lay my thoughts before God and beg him, literally as I'm walking up to speak, God, help me, show me, please speak through me. Help me believe. And when I looked out into the crowd, of course, I saw her family and I saw our friends and the people that we knew and grew up together, but I was able to see the people whose lives that she touched. I was able to see the people whose lives that her death touched. And I felt God's love more in that moment than I ever had before. It was almost tangible. I could literally feel it. The moment that I thought was going to crush me was the moment that grew my faith the most. As I looked out at the crowd and I saw the people, I'm definitely going over. And that sounds like a ring, like it makes me want to fight somebody. As I looked out at the crowd and I saw the people that were touched by her life, I knew that Jesus wanted me to see more. He wanted me to see the people that were there. And it, like I said, it wasn't her just family and friends, but it was a room of recovered and active addicts and atheists. And God spoke to my heart in that moment and he said, Tara, this moment right now is the fulfillment of that promise I had given you about her life. It doesn't look how you thought it would and it does not feel good. I know that it hurts, but the ministry you would have together is only possible through her death. Her story is not over and neither is yours. And I am not mad at you for doubting me. I knew that when you chose to follow me, that this day would come. We know as believers that life comes after Jesus' death. And I'm here to tell you that life can come after the death that you have experienced too. We all have broken stories. We all need redemption. I can testify today that hope is found in Jesus. He will not waste your pain. So if you found yourself today, like Peter, going through a season where you've denied him, or like me, and you've been disappointed in how your life has turned out, I want to point you back to the scripture. And it says, I pray that your faith will not fail. Your faith may falter, but it doesn't have to fail. And when you return to me, this is Jesus speaking over Peter's life, not if you return to me, but when you return to me, when this part of your story is over, when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. And that's what I hope to have done with you today, is to remind you that he is very much in your story. He is very much worth trusting. You can put your hope in him. There is hope to be found in your grief.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you want to get more connected, text NEXT to 62488 or go to our website, mylwc.church. We hope that you have an amazing rest of the week.